Is that on, brother?
Test, test, test. I love these microphones. I break them all the time, Brother Mike. I really do. We had a guy, ours, you have to press the button. I don't know what you got to do, Pastor, but we had a guy, you have to press the button, and he just pulled the whole thing out. And I mean, wires hanging out of the bottom and everything, you know. That'll just, you know, you preachers know when you're preaching, you want to have your mind. You know, when you start with something like that, he was kind of rattled for about 5 minutes. We just laughed at him. I love laughing at people, don't you guys? Just a good Christian. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Trisha is sick this morning. I'm a little concerned. It's morning sickness, to be honest with you. Yeah, so a bunch of, we're a family of 10. I don't know if that was like, you know, I grew up, I grew up Pentecostal, man. And so my mom's a preacher, still is a preacher. That's no joke. All right, amen. I got it. I got it from mama's side, and my stepdaddy was a preacher too, so I got it coming from every angle at me, you know? So I was raised upright, but actually, before I make all y'all nervous, some of you fellas can start throwing that King James Bible at me. I have stepped away from all of that, obviously. I still believe in speaking in tongues and healing, but that women preacher thing, right? No. I'm just kidding, but Trisha is not feeling well, so we've got about 500 miles to go home, roughly, I think is what it is. So I don't mean to be rude, but at 11 o'clock when I'm done here, we'll be slipping out and head back to Sister April's house, go take care of her, just do the best that we can, and then get on the road. And so I apologize to have to slip out like that. I didn't get to hear Brother Mike preach all weekend. I know my sons have, and my younger children did as well, but I hate to miss that this morning. It's just been good, man. It's been good. Listen, it's a big deal to me that we get to be here. And two of my sons got to preach yesterday and did a great job. I missed out on Caleb. Trish and I have been over in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I speak at a married couples retreat every year. She does some speaking there as well. And so we were just coming over from that. We were there Thursday and Friday this week. Just a great time, man. Really good meeting that we do over there every year. And so came over. And so I did miss out on Caleb preaching yesterday morning, but got in on Michael preaching. And just, they are some good preachers. Listen, preacher boys, let me give you a little nudge here a little bit. There was a church that called. I tell you what, y'all go. I don't want to spend too much time. Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. Go there. I'll say this. But there was a church that called my pastor a year or two ago now. Time's gotten away from me. And just said, probably longer than that, maybe about 3 years. And they do their bus service. They go out on Wednesday night. Their church goes out on Wednesday night. They have some van routes. And they do their kind of their bus service on Wednesday night. And so they go, they pick them up, and then they bring them in. And Caleb and Michael have preached for them. The preacher called and said, we could use some preacher boys. And so the preacher called, and our son, my two sons, and there's some other, Brother Matt, which is Brother Tony, my pastor's assistant pastor. Brother Matt McDaniel is his assistant. His son Micah goes with them, and they preach every other Wednesday. I don't want them missing out. I still feel, Pastor, I'm very passionate about this. I think teenagers need to be in Sunday school. I think they need to be in things like teen service. I'm for them being in the bus ministry, all three of my older sons on bus routes on Sunday morning, but I want them in teen Sunday school. That's geared for them. That's good for them. Amen. It's good for you, young people. Be in your place because God's developing you. So I don't like on Wednesday nights them missing a lot of those, but they miss every other. And God has used that. Listen to me, preacher boys. This is the part I want you to hear. They have a regular platform of preaching the gospel at a young age, and it is developing them. It is developing them. And they haven't cornered the market on preaching. I'm not trying to act like that by any means, but they are learning how to present the gospel, and they're doing a great job at it. And I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of them. So proud of all my kids, not just my preacher boys, just God using your children. I mean, parents, amen. There's nothing better that we would want.
Amen.
I mean, I just want my kids, they don't need to be called to preach. Whatever it is, I want them in what place God wants them. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't want them out of place. I really mean that. So, all right, enough about that. It is good. I'll say this. It is good to be back in the Redskins area. Is anybody else a Redskins fan? Is anybody a Baltimore Ravens fan? No, Lord help us. All right. Hey, listen, as a Redskins fan, I will ask this before we go to Ephesians. Are there any Dallas Cowboys fans? Okay. You guys are dismissed. You can go ahead and leave. I will call security. Y'all got security in here, huh? They can, I mean, we don't want any hindrances in this building. Brother Mike, I didn't know you were a Dallas Cowboy. Are there any Falcons fans in here? Look, you, praise God. Amen. The Spirit just moved back into the room, so that's good. All right, here we go. Enough messing around. I'm sorry. I don't mean to waste too much time. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at this. I want you to stay with me this morning. And so stay with me this morning as I go through this thought. Brother Samson's walking in. I gave his church this thought last summer. And so I'm going to elaborate a lot on the Bible verses this morning and really focus in on verse 16. So I want you to hear this morning. And I may just kind of give you a story, and we'll see what time it is. And then I've got some quick points I might give you. We'll see how this evolves. Before I do that, I need to do one more thing. I'm so sorry. Is Miss Nikki Neath in here? Is she in here? Thank you so much. Well done on the basket. It was unbelievable. I mean, that's like, you know, when you have a big basket, it's one of the biggest baskets we've ever had. My kids will eat off of that for like a long time. I don't even really touch it. As soon as I walked to the door, they were like, are you going to eat? And they're running through a list of things. And so they've already gotten into it. It's wonderful. Thank you very much. All right, here we go. Enough of that. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 13. And let's just pull apart these verses a little bit. All right. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not. Now watch this. At my tribulations for you. Young people, this is youth rally, and I want you to look up here for just a moment. You need to realize that there are people around you that are going through tribulations because they are trying to spiritually lead you. And any time that you step into a spiritual position, your mom, your dad, maybe you're being raised by your grandparents this morning. I don't know who it is, but you landed in church today. So someone is going to bat for you between you and the Lord and the principalities that are fighting your life. Someone's doing that. And here's what I want you to understand. As Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus here, and as he says this, listen to me, he's talking about this. When you hear about Paul going through shipwrecks and multiple times being beaten and stoned and all of that, can I tell you that Paul could have stepped away from that at any time? Because listen to me, he wasn't enduring those things for himself. This was not a popularity contest for Paul. Like it's, hey, get another beating in the next town, I get a little more, my name goes out there more and more, and I become more popular. It was a humility thing of this. I'm staying in this fight because there are people who need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. His tribulations that he was going through would have been much easier if he stepped away because there was zero benefit for him. As a matter of fact, all the pain, all the turmoil, all the tribulations that he was going through, the reason he was doing that was because he was trying to further the existence of the gospel throughout the area. Listen to me. This pastor that sits on this stage, church, he could walk away, and many pastors do, by the way. They walk away. They're under such spiritual attack that they walk away from the ministry. But there is a battle that goes on in his life, in his wife's life, in his children's lives. Listen to me very carefully. There's an attack on them. Why? Because they go through those tribulations for one reason, and that is you. That's you. And so I want you to, young person, learn to fall in love with those people who are spiritually fighting for you. Because they are enduring tribulations in their life simply because of this. They're going to look at you and say this, be faithful. Be faithful. Now, those words are powerful words, but let me tell you how you're going to really learn, and they know this. The way that they know you're going to learn how to be faithful is if they model that for you. So as they model that for you, what that is a spiritual battle, and they are enduring tribulations. You need to realize this. That one that, man, they get on my nerves, and that one who puts me on restriction, and that one who, man, tells me what to do all the time. Listen to me. That one is spiritually going through tribulations for one reason and one reason only. They love you. They love you. And so you need to understand, for many people, it'd be just be easier to walk away instead of telling you, no, hey, look, it would worry me if I had a parent that I bucked up on so much Man, I'm always giving them an attitude, man. I'm always giving them a hard time. They start backing off of me at about 16 or 17 years old. Listen to me. That person who loves you and is trying to pour into you, who gets on your nerves, that person is spiritually responsible for you and will one day stand before God for how they raised you. Now, here's the deal. How you turn out is a choice on your part. You'll stand before God because of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And let me just stand in front of you and say this. As a parent, I fail all the time. I have to apologize to my kids all the time. Listen, it's not a lame excuse. I don't mean to say this as just like I'm just passing it by. I feel bad my children are in here this morning, and I have to say this. But we do fail.
Right. Yep.
But we are trying.
Yeah.
We are trying. And I want you to know that there are people that are going through tribulations simply because they're not going to give up on you spiritually. They're not going to stop.
Amen.
They're going to keep moving forward. Look down at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Really, I'm going to talk this morning for that one that's going through the tribulations. And I want your mindset this morning. Those of you who right now you're going through some form of tribulation. Man, you feel weakened. You feel tired. You feel beat down. Look at verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's giving credit to Jesus Christ. He bows his knee. Now verse 16 is where we'll focus. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Are you tired this morning? Or are you weak this morning? Are you going through problems in your life and man, you just feel like this could be the end of me. I'm having such a hard time. Matter of fact, there might be someone in here this morning and this is the heart that I want to speak to today. There might be someone in here this morning and you're at the point where you could say this. And if you're not here now, you've definitely been there because we all have. You can just say this. I'm almost at the point where I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
And can I just say this? If you quit, when I see Christians quit, usually they drag a couple down with them. I'm just telling you that's the way it goes.
Amen.
Let me say that again. If you quit, generally as your ship sinks, you pull down some that go down deep with you.
Amen.
Don't quit this morning.
Amen. That's good.
Listen to me. Don't quit this morning. Yeah. Keep going. Stay in the fight for that one that's got their eyes on you, whether it's in your home or whether it's in the ministry that you're going through. Don't quit. You don't understand how hard it is. Don't quit. I don't think I can do this much longer. Just don't quit. And watch this. Read on to verse 16 there. To be strengthened with might by his spirit. What did we hear Brother Samson preach on last night? What did we hear Brother Samson preaching on? With might by his spirit. And here's the part. Look at the next four words. In the inner man. In that inner man, look at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know what faith is? You got to trust him. You don't know, man. You don't know how this thing's going to turn out. You don't know how everything's going to go, but you have to trust him by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. There's so much there. Look at verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Two more verses. You're doing well this morning. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Lord, I love you now. God, may you just strengthen me. Lord, help me to be a help the next couple of minutes, Lord. God, we've had so much good preaching this weekend. And God, I pray now that you would just strengthen me, God, to preach this message as we talk about the inner man, God, and getting better for you. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the opportunity, Lord. I do pray for Trisha, God, that you touch her body. Oh, God, may you please help her this morning. I pray that even by the time we get back to the house there, Lord, that God, she'd be feeling better. I pray your hand would touch her now, Lord. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Anybody else in here a faker? I'm a good faker.
Amen.
I am. I mean, I'll get up there, and if you've ever watched me lead our youth choir, man, I get shouting. I start moving that right back foot, man. It's the way I do it. And, man, I can play that role very good. Anybody else in here this morning can do that? Brother Samson, I mean, I can just strap that smile on and, man, I can be that youth pastor guy. I mean, Pastor Ryman, youth pastors always have to have that, you know, 12-year-old immature personality. You know, you just always got to have a smile on. Man, it's Sunday morning and you're in teen Sunday school and, man, you're just, Brother David, you're just giving it all you can to be that youth pastor that's excited. I think you need to be there, by the way. All right, you understand? I know I'm talking about being a faker. I'm not talking about really being a faker. Follow me on my thought here. But sometimes, man, you got to strap on that smile. You know why? Because the inner man is weak. The inner man is weak. A matter of fact, I'd probably venture to say this. Anytime you have a youth rally or a meeting, some kind of down in the South, we have the camp meetings, revival, whatever tag you want to put on it, whatever's going on, listen to me. Usually that is a church that has been going through over the last week or two tremendous fiery trials. That's definitely what my experience is. The devil's trying to attack and everything else. So this morning, some of you may have walked in here and you say, you have no idea even what our morning was like. I look great. I'm dressed for Sunday morning service. But can I tell you what? Inside, that inner man is weak this morning. And I want you to know that there is a God, that this meeting that has gone on and all that God has done, teenagers, don't miss it. This is not just a meeting of sorts where we get together and then nothing ever changes. God has called you to this place. God has spoken to you this weekend because God wants to change some things about you. And I encourage you as this, don't walk away from this meeting the same. And so tonight, as I'm preaching this morning, tonight, and I have 10 kids. I don't even know where I am right now, all right? But this morning as I am preaching to you, listen to me, those that are having that weakened inner man, I encourage you, listen to me, God's brought you to this place to help you this morning. I believe that. And if this morning you say, my inner man is weak, well, can I say this? Maybe it's not just from a spiritual attack over youth rally weekend. Maybe it's some very severe problems that you have going on in your home right now. We've got a prayer line system in our church. Sends out these group text messages. Brother Alan Young, great man of God at our church. He's been battling cancer for the last couple of years. He keeps having these very high fevers, and then they go away. High fevers, and it goes away. I love Brother Alan Young. Him and I are very close. We talk. Anytime he's at church, we talk, and we try to keep up with one another, and he's such a blessing. Listen to me this morning. Do you know he has preached in the jails for years and years in our county? And as I sat and talked to him, his liver's starting to shut down. If you've ever seen someone like that that's been battling that cancer that's so bad, their skin color just becomes white. And he sat there on that pew, and he walked up to me, and he said, hey, Brother Jason. He had his oxygen bag with him. And he said, hey, Brother Jason. I turned around and said, Brother Alan. I hugged him. And as soon as I hugged him, I knew he wanted to hug me. He sits down on the pew, and we just talked for a couple of minutes. And the color has left his skin. And we got a prayer line overnight last night, or maybe it was early this morning, I can't remember, but he's had another fever that's extremely high, and they've gotten it back down, praise the Lord. But can I tell you, Brother Mike, if God don't step in, it won't be long, that man will be in eternity. That'll weaken your inner man. His wife is weak right now. She's tired, she's beat down, and many of you may feel that. But can I tell you that as your inner man becomes weak, can I encourage you that as you go through that, let's go back to one of our initial verses, verse 13, I believe it is, where it's talking about those tribulations. If you're the one that's trying to help someone this morning through those situations, if you're the one that's bearing the load of that tribulation that you're going through, and it may not be a death, but listen to me, whatever your story is, your story may be that right now, man, your inner man is weakening. Can I just say this? There are people watching you as you go through your tribulations. And rather than our tribulations as Christians defeating us, how amazing is this? God takes those tribulations when we don't quit, and he helps encourage someone else. Many of you throughout this room have been a tremendous blessing to me. Not just the Ryman family. I could tell you story after story about Pastor Ryman, his wife, and those children where, listen, they have not quit on God. And I would say, Pastor Ryman, listen, your kids serving the Lord, your grandbabies being in church today, everyone being busy in the ministry, I'd say you're pretty happy you didn't quit through those tribulations. But I believe if I took a microphone right now and handed it to him, handed it to Miss Ryman and said, has there ever been a point where your inner man was so weak you thought you'd buckle under the pressure? I believe both of them would say, absolutely. I've wanted to quit many, many times. But listen to me. All the eyes that were on them, today God is using that, the fact that they didn't quit. And let me put it this way. This is the word I'm going to preach on for just another 10 minutes, is this word. God used those tribulations to make them better. Better. Amen. 2-3 years ago at teen camp, I'll bet your group was probably even there. It was a Tuesday morning, I believe, if my memory's not failing me. I believe April was the year, first year y'all came back to New Manna, and I got to lead Land into the Lord that year, and what a tremendous year. That Tuesday morning, I cannot remember who preached. I can't even remember what the message was by any means. But I sat, all of you teenagers that have been to the camp there, I sat in that one chair that I always sit in just off the side of the stage there, and I'm sure it was 850,000 degrees. I would do anything for air. I would probably sell Michael in for some air conditioning in the building there, okay? Michael, I love you. It's just hot. That's all I can tell you, okay? That doesn't weaken my inner man. That weakens my outer man very, very terribly. That's right. But I sat there, and after that service was over, Trisha had been back and forth from the camp, and she had to work that particular day for whatever reason it was. But Trisha deals with a lot of physical issues. If you're close to her, you know that. God has allowed us to get into adoption because we were initially told, but just before we got married, a couple months before we got married, that we would never have children. Her doctor said that. God gave us three, and if you remember, many of you were very close to us 15 years ago. Caleb's pregnancy was very hard on Trisha, and Caleb nearly died. He was born, and Trisha was in such bad health, but he spent a large amount of time in Children's Hospital. Pastor Ryman visited us, and many of you stayed very close to us through that process. And that was just before we went down to North Carolina. And so the Lord had used all of that to get us into adoption and foster care and just blessed us. But through all of that, Trisha's health is, she's gone through multiple surgeries, and they've tried to help her with what she deals with, but she lives in a lot of pain. And the surgeries haven't alleviated a lot of that. Sometimes she does better. Praise the Lord. She did have a surgery about earlier this past year that did help her with some of that. But she still deals with a lot of pain when she has these flares, as she calls them. And as I sat out at camp that day, that Tuesday morning, not sure if it was just good. I don't remember the details that led up to it, but I felt very numb sitting in that service. Matter of fact, teenagers that were there, you talk about a weak inner man, but I probably got up and encouraged you guys while the youth choir was singing and meant every bit of it. I'm not trying to say that as a faker. When I use that word faker, I believe in the word of God, but my problems were weakening my inner man. And my burden was for my wife, mainly just watching her hurt. And that Tuesday morning when the service was done, I just sat there in that chair. Everybody went down to lunch. There was only a couple of us that morning. And Brother Tony said, hey, give me a ride down to the camper. I said, yes, sir. So we jumped in whatever vehicle I had there, and I drove him down the hill and back to the other side of the camp, and we pulled up outside of his camper. And I said, Brother Tony, I said, can I talk to you for just a minute? And he said, sure. And we sat there for about 5-10 minutes, and I just said, look, I need to be critically honest with you as your youth pastor, but I need some guidance right now. I said, I'm getting to the point where I know God could take this thing from my wife, and he's just not. It just doesn't change, April. And God could have changed that in the past. God could have stopped it from happening. God could change that situation now. God could have looked down the future and said, hey, I see what's going to go on, so let me stop this problem over here. And guess what? He let the trigger of that problem happen. And boy, it's been going on for a lot of years now. There's a lot of pain. Because as you know, if there's anybody in this room that's ever dealt with physical pain, that brings on levels of pain throughout your life spiritually. That brings spiritual pain. That brings emotional pain. It brings all kinds of levels of pain. I wasn't the one hurting, but boy, I wish I could change this for my wife. And very honestly, I looked at Brother Tony and I said, Brother Tony, God can change this and he just won't. And we've prayed, we've fasted about it. Listen to me, I wish you could understand. That is my phone going off. I am so sorry about that. Can I go change the ringer? Are you guys mad at me for that? All right. Thank you. Just thank you. All right. It's going to call back is the situation. So because I need to cut the ringer off. That's someone trying to get. Yes. Thank you. That is exactly what you need to do. I'm very sorry. Here we go. Back to the story. All right. But that morning, as I talked to Brother Tony about that and I was critically honest with him about it, I just said, look, and this is where I'd gotten. I'd gotten to the point where it was becoming bitterness in my heart towards God. And I believe that morning, now listen, I'm not a spiritual temperature gauge in your life. If you sit in a church service sometime and you just feel numb to that, that could be for many reasons. But I want you to know, I sat in that church that day because I had sin in my heart. I was bitter at God, knowing that he could change that. My pastor was a blessing. A man encouraged me, gave me a number of Bible verses. I thanked him very much. And I don't normally leave the camp really at all for those 5 days that we're out there. I hardly leave the premises. But that day I had to run over to a bank. I had a banking matter. I had to sign some paperwork or something. So Tricia was at work. I went to the bank, did whatever I needed to do. And there was a couple of ways I could come back to the camp. And there was one way where I could drop by Tricia's office. So I grabbed her some lunch. And I went and I sat down. And when I walked into her office there, I sat down and I just began to cry. And she said, what's wrong? She said, is something wrong at the camp? And I said, no, everything's fine at the camp. And I said, Tricia, and boy, this is a haunting thought if you've ever had this thought. I know it's different. I know we're not shouting it out right now. I hope I'm helping you, though, this morning. Amen? But I sat there in her office and I began to cry and I said this. This is a harsh thought, but I said, Tricia, if any one of our children had a problem, especially if they were in pain, if I could change it, I would. Why won't God do that for us? I said, why won't God take your pain? I said, I'm not, listen, I don't mean this prideful either. I want you to know, I said it last time I was preaching, and maybe I just need to quit saying it. I don't know. But listen to me. We're not better than anybody. Like, we don't deserve to go through tribulations. Do you understand? But we're trying for God at least, okay? That's the best I can say it this morning. And look, just because we're trying for God doesn't mean we're exempt from problems. So we need to get over that. But at that point, my inner man was very, very weak. And I said, Tricia, if I could take it from Michael or Trayson or Caleb or any of the littles, I would do that just as fast as I could. And she turned that chair around, and I remember her face like she's sitting in front of me. She said, no, you wouldn't. Not if it was helping them to get better. Amen. Listen to me. Parents, just a couple days earlier than that, I'd been in the doctor. And if you know our little four-year-old Kinley, she's afraid of nothing. If I told her to get up on top of this roof and that she could fly like Batman, if she got up there, I guess Batman don't fly. I'm sorry. I don't know my superheroes very well. Like Superman, all right? That little girl would crawl up on top of that roof and she'd try it. She was always so brave when we would go to the doctor. And just the week prior to my wife and I having this conversation, I took her to the doctor, and the doctor's looking in her ear, and she don't mind. And doctor's looking in her mouth, and she don't mind. Bold. I mean, does it not bother it at all. But she had to get caught up on them shots. And she had four coming that day. And I felt so bad because I was like, hey babe, the doctor had gone out and was sending in the nurse. Here comes this nice nurse, and nurses always have stickers and lollipops. So here comes the nurse. And she said, I said, honey, I need you to sit up on this table. Do you know what I was setting her up for? Pain. Some of the worst pain she will have ever experienced in her life at this point. Do you understand? What I'm doing at this point is I'm setting her up for pain, but the pain was for a purpose. The pain was going to make her better. And as that nurse came in with that little tray and had all those little needles, Kinley couldn't see them. I said, I want you to lay on your back. And I held her legs. She didn't even know what I was doing. And that nurse started one by one taking those needles and putting them in her legs. And listen to me, my daughter looked at me and said, make them stop. Can I tell you what? I didn't make them stop. I didn't make the nurse stop because every shot was making her better. And if you feel like right now God's holding you down and you feel like the pain is so harsh, I want you to know, don't quit in those tribulations. That pain's going to make you better for God. Amen. And there are many people like Paul who had many eyes on him. There are eyes on your life. I don't care if it's in your job. I don't care if it's in your home. Listen to me. It's definitely in your church because we strengthen one another. But all eyes are on you. And if you quit because the inner man is so weak, because you're going through tribulations, and you think, hey, you think God could take this pain, I'm here to tell you, keep going through the pain. It's making you better for God. Don't quit this morning.
Amen.
You have no idea, listen to me carefully, you have no idea what is just around the corner in your life. Don't quit now. Listen to me, you have no idea what is just around the corner in your life. Don't quit now. If the inner man is weak, can I give you the secret to youth rally? What youth rally is I like the shouting. I like the raising the hands. I like all of that spiritual encouragement in the middle of it. But it's not meant to be left in the gym when we walk out the double glass doors. Does everybody understand me? This meeting is meant to encourage the inner man. So when you go to work tomorrow, you can say, God spoke to me this weekend. When you come back to church next weekend, you can give testimony about how God use this meeting to help strengthen your inner man.
Amen.
Amen. We're so bad about walking away from the meeting and so easily getting distracted from what God just spoke to us about. You have to take some time to rewind about what God spoke to you about.
Amen.
After Brother Samson preached yesterday, the altar was plowed. What was God speaking to you about at that time? Or are you just going to turn around and walk away? And listen to me, you know what you'll find? By Tuesday, you'll be texting your husband, your wife, texting your friend, your pastor saying, I'm so weak. Now listen to me. I'm telling you, devil's coming after you this week. He is coming after you this week. But maybe the message that you were on the altar for this week was meant as you hit that next tribulation.
Amen.
Maybe it was. How's your inner man? Outer man looks good. How's your inner man? Don't walk away from God. He's making you better. Lord, I love you. I hope I've encouraged the church this morning. God, I hope I've encouraged the church this morning.
Amen.
I pray that you'll be with them. Please, Lord. I pray that you'll help them in a powerful way, Lord. God, I don't know what problem. I don't know what tribulation people are going through this morning. But God, may there be someone in here that, Lord, needed some strength in the inner man. God, I hope you've given it to them this morning. And I love you and praise you. Jesse, will you just play something? If you need to come this morning, maybe